This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with us here shortly to preview IU's final home game, senior day, against Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights. Both teams come into this contest at 4-6, needing wins to keep their bowl hopes alive. Rutgers is 3-4 in the Big Ten. IU is 1-6 in the Big Ten. And the weather for this game, it is supposed to be awful. There is no other way to describe it. Weather.com has a 100% chance of rain. Winds between 20 and 30 miles an hour, 58 degrees at the high, low of 25. So awful, nasty, not conducive to the passing game, you name it. So it's going to be a gross day on Saturday, but this is college football. This is football weather. You've got to play through it. So we welcome in TJ Inman to the show. TJ, senior day, can you believe it's come up this fast?
No, I mean, it's bittersweet. I as exciting as this time of the year is, we know what it means. You know, we know it means that, the regular season is almost over. And, yeah, the bowl games are awesome. And, the college football playoff is great. And, having these bowl projections actually be something that some reasonable guesses at, that's fun. But it all means that the season is pretty rapidly coming to a close, and that's, we don't like that. I mean, we do not like that, but I'm happy for the guys that are completing their careers, and there's a lot of really talented players that have done a lot for Indiana University football that are going to be playing their final games on Saturday, and I hope that they can final home game. Sorry, yeah. Hope that they can wrap up their Memorial Stadium careers with the victory and do it on a positive note. Winning on Senior Day is always going to make the festivities remembered with a little bit more of a fond memory if you can come out on top. And obviously the stakes are very big beyond just the sentimental part of Senior Day. The stakes are very real where you've got you've got two teams that are both still hoping to make a bowl game, Indiana and Rutgers, both sitting at four wins, both knowing they've got to win the final 2 weeks to get to a bowl game. Indiana does have the easier matchup in the final week of the season, but, it's certainly possible that Rutgers could win both of their final games, and it's definitely possible Indiana could beat Rutgers and then go to West Lafayette and beat Purdue. But a loss on Saturday for either side and those dreams are over. So, the stakes are big. They're not, neither team is playing for a division title. Neither team is competing for anything on a national stage, but for both of these programs, the stakes are high.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. There are a lot of players going through senior day. I'll go through them quickly. Kenny Arnold, Ben Bach, Simi Cobbs, is going through, so take note of that. Chris Covington, Chase Dutra, yeah. Fance, Tony Field, Danny Friend, Joseph Gideon, Greg Gooch, Jayshon Harris, unfortunately going through senior day, Nate Hoff, Lego, Robert McCray, Darren Meminger, Griffin Oaks, Tigre Scales, Ian Thomas, Jack Tran, Jamie Thompson, Zeke Walker, and Damian Willis Jr., who is kind of surprised to be on that list, but there are a lot of impact players on that list. Who, you're right. These guys' legacies are wrapped up in whether or not they can get back to a bowl game this year. Chase Dutra, Rashard Fant, Tigre Scales. They've played a lot of football for IU. If they you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself with this week, but let's say they go to a bowl game. That would be three bowl games in a row, 3 and 5 years for these fifth-year seniors, 3 and 4 years for everybody else. So it's their legacies as successful, not entire legacies, but they'll go down as one of the most successful senior classes in IU history. They could, you know, pull the next two games out. But let's get down to Rutgers, TJ. It is going to be nasty, nasty out on Saturday. If you're at the game, yeah, dress warmly. You know, bring a rain slicker, poncho, plastic bag, garbage bag, tarp, umbrella, whatever. Stay dry and warm. You know, I imagine the traffic is going to be terrible going down to the game too. As road conditions and construction get just worse when it's raining. But the weather is going to make this game kind of match the gloominess of the weather. It's Rutgers doesn't throw the ball well. They're ranked 123rd in passing offense. They're ranked 62nd in rush offense. So that's the strength of their team. They have good special teams as well and a pretty solid defense. But for IU, you know, that run game hasn't been where it was the last couple of years, not even close. They kind of got off the deck last week at Illinois, but Rutgers is better than Illinois. So we'll see if this passing offense, if they could get Lego going in the rain and the wind, and maybe even have a healthy Peyton Ramsey to sprinkle in there as a changeup to kind of inject some more life into this running game.
Well, I think you said it, and that's one of the things that's interesting about this game, and one of the things I have coming up in my primer, which team can be two-dimensional, because both teams are pretty much one-dimensional so far this year. Rutgers, it's been all about the run. Not that they're amazing at that, but you know they're solid. They're a solid running team, middle of the Big Ten there. You know, Gus Edwards has had a very surprisingly good senior year. I mean, he's proven to be a really good player. He's averaging 4.4 yards a carry. He's gotten the majority of the work here in the second half of the season. Robert Martin, another guy that's going to be heavily featured for them. And then they've got a couple of younger backs that will see some carries as well. Weeks ago against Maryland, they had 239 yards rushing. And better than 5 yards to carry. If it's up to them, they would probably run the ball darn near every down. I mean, their balance is going to be probably about 80-20 unless, you know, game score dictates that they have to throw a lot more. But if they can play the game the way they want to, they'll run that ball about 80% of the time and just use Giovanni Rossigno to, you know, throw on obvious passing downs. You know, Indiana's been the opposite story where they've been unable to get their running game going, but their passing game has, you know, while not excellent, it has carried the offense this season. So which team can establish that other phase of their offense? Which team can find some semblance of balance? I don't think we're expecting either side to be able to, you know, IU's not going to magically be able to run the ball really well. You know, even last week, IU only had, 3.31 yards per attempt against Illinois. I mean, it seemed like they had a pretty nice day running the ball, but, and I do think they do. I mean, they had 139 yards on 42 carries, and they were able to get some chunk plays on the ground. Cole Guest had a couple of real nice runs, which was good to see. I'm expecting we'll see more work for him this week. And Morgan Ellison was able to pound a few short yardage carries through there, which is what you're hoping for from him. But still, despite that modest success, it was just 3.31 yards an attempt, and now you're going up against a better run defense than Rutgers. So we're not expecting Indiana to magically be able to run the ball well. Rutgers is not going to all of a sudden turn into an effective passing attack. it's just about which side can find some semblance of balance, and whichever one does is probably going to feel pretty good about their chances.
Definitely, and you know, you said 3.31 yards rushing. IU came into that game averaging 3.17 yards per carry, so it's actually an improvement over what they did. Ellison had some good runs. That's including two kneel downs, one at the end of the first half, one at the end of the game. So you take away, you know, 6 yards there. It's probably close to 3.4, maybe 3.5.
Yeah.
Still not good, but it is improved. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what this team do with this Rutgers front. If Lego has been named the starter already, we'll see where Peyton Ramsey is at. It seems like he's progressing every week, at least according to coaches' comments. That's what it sounds like. And I think he would add that dimension. I don't think it's split 50-50, but there are times in the game where having him as a changeup, I think, works. And that's when IU's offense has been the best, when they use Peyton Ramsey as a change of pace quarterback. He could throw some short passes. I don't think IU's going to try and throw deep all that much, especially in this wind and weather, but you never know.
No.
So, you know, Ramsey can throw the ball short. Guys got to hold on to the ball. This is going to be a game where special teams, turnovers, takeaways, putting balls on the ground is going to make a difference. This is where maybe that rainstorm that they played in against Charleston Southern comes in handy. IU fans remember the monsoon that came through Bloomington for the second half of that game. You know, they've played a bad weather game already. I don't know whether or not Rutgers has, but, you know, handling the wet footballs and things like that already, they've practiced out in it in the rain this week. So, I mean, IU shouldn't be an excuse.
No, and I, you know, the takeaways you mentioned there, that's something that the last week it was so good to see Indiana finally decisively win the takeaway battle. You know, they had the interception early against Illinois, but were able to eventually force three, you know, and they had opportunities for more than that, but eventually did capitalize on three most, and they were all in the second half. So, you know, in the final two, really put that game on ice for the Hoosiers. Rashard Fant's interception and Tigre Scales, a weird play that Jeff George Jr. just, I'm not sure what he was doing. Jacob Robinson, I think, can't remember if it was Robinson or Hoff, one of the two of those guys got in. And it's unclear on the replay whether or not they forced it, but they definitely forced Jeff George to move up in the pocket. And when he did, the ball squirted out. Tigre Scales got it. So it was good to see the Indiana defense make the plays that they've been in position to make for all of this season, really, and just hadn't made. You know, call it bad luck, call it bad execution, call it, you know, whatever you want. The plays haven't been made by that defense when they have been in position to do so. So it was really good to see them do that. And IU comes out plus two. Really the first time all season that they've won that turnover battle decisively. And it, you know, it helped. Anytime you can do that, anytime you can be plus two or better, you feel really good about your chances to win. Rutgers this year, they've forced 14 turnovers. They've given away 15 of them. So they're minus one on the season. Whereas Indiana, you know, definitely much worse. So I'm going to be interested to see if this defense, if kind of getting that, you know, I don't know if turnover momentum is an actual thing. I know that the coaches feel like it is. Once you can kind of break through and get a few of them, you feel like that faucet's on and it, more are coming. And that the players feel that as well. So my hope is that last week, Indiana was able to kind of have that success making those plays, and you know, the plays that weren't being made earlier in the year, that all turns around and finds itself, or as Stan Dockett likes to say, water finds its level, whereas eventually it all evens out. So if Indiana can carry the ball on offense, meaning no forced throws by Lego, you know, if it's not there, it's just not there. It's fine. You can throw it away. And then on the, for the ball carriers, to, like you said, it's going to be very important to take extra care of that ball in the wet weather. And then if Indiana can force a couple of Rutgers, they can force Rossino into some throwing downs, get some pressure on him, and force him into some bad throws or bad decisions, and then make the plays that are there. And then, you know, stripping the ball carriers. Martin and Edwards are both seniors. They'll get the majority of the carries for Rutgers, so you wouldn't expect them to have major fumbling problems. And they haven't too badly on the year, but who knows. Get a couple of those, get a right bounce, fall on the ball. And this is the type of game where if you can get a couple of possessions on a short field, you really are able to increase your chances of winning, because points figure to be somewhat of a premium.
Yeah, and you're right about turnover momentum. You know, IU against Wisconsin, they had two great chances at recovering fumbles,
yeah.
Didn't get them. You know, that's why they call – Bill Connolly calls it turnover luck. You know, it's
yep.
– football is the only sport where you play with a ball that's oblong. And it takes funny bounces, and it hasn't bounced IU's way on the turnover battle. You hope that – you know, IU could have had five takeaways last week. You know, Rashard Fant drops a pick six. Another interception that if it's ruled a catch in the field, it's probably upheld. That he probably should have caught. There was another,
yep.
you know, another fumble, I believe, on an Illinois player. So, you know,
yep,
the ball
George,
is hitting. Yep, the ball is hitting the ground. It's whether or not Indiana's going to jump on it, and it seems like they're getting the ball out. They're getting in prime position to intercept passes now, and maybe. The tide has stemmed in this defense's favor. Who, you know, you can't be one dimensional like Rutgers and just run the ball 90 times against IU. You're going to have to throw the ball. Indiana's defensive front is playing really well.
Yep.
I think they're fourth or fifth in the Big Ten in sacks. You know, Indiana's total defense is with 31 sacks. They played really well. They've gotten pressure on the quarterback. You're going to make this kid throw the ball. He's been bad. It's not a secret. He's been bad. Rossino is completing 47% of his passes. Now he only has one interception, but he's throwing two touchdowns. They don't trust him. And at
no.
some point, you're going to have to let it fly with Rossino, and that's where IU could take advantage. And I think Hayden Whitehead has played spectacularly. Griffin Oaks has really been solid. And then you have Luke Timian returning punts. He was shanded last week, played very well. So, I mean, the
yeah.
biggest punt return this week might be catching the ball. We've said it a lot of times, just catch the ball. We'll see, you know, kick return is kick return. Somehow Devontae Williams closing in on fourth all time on the IU kick return yardage list. You know, put that one together. Kickoffs
wow.
have been good. Kickoff coverage has been solid since the Maryland debacle, and we'll see. You know, this is going to be a, you know, strength against strength, and it's going to be an old time slug it out war in Bloomington.
Something that I'm interested to see, and I do agree with you on special teams. I mean, since Maryland, you know, by and large, the special teams unit has played very well.
Yeah, outside of Maryland and the Penn State game, they've been great.
Yeah, yeah, and it makes those two performances just all the more puzzling, particularly the Maryland one. I mean, Penn State, look, you know, nothing was going right at the start of that game. It was all downhill right at the beginning. Barkley's a great player, and you know, those things happen. The Maryland one, I'm never going to be able to figure out what happened to the special teams unit that day, where literally everything that could have gone wrong for them did. And it makes, you know, their performance the rest of the year, that's such a clear outlier. It's just puzzling, but hopefully it does not anything like that crop up again. And we see another good performance from every phase there. But what I am interested to see for Indiana's offense is going to be if the weather is, as we expect it to be, how much is that going to change the way that the play caller, Mike DeBoard, approaches this game, or how much does it change how Tom Allen has him approach the game? I don't know if Indiana's going to be able to say, well, all right, we'll just, we'll run it 75% of the time. You might want to do that because of the weather. You might feel like you have to do that. Don't know if Indiana's offensive line is capable of making that a successful plan, to where you're not going to be doing anything other than just, trotting your offense out there, having a quick three and out or maybe one first down, and then sending your defense out. And what Rutgers is going to hope to do is grind IU's defense down by controlling the clock, running the ball a bunch, and having IU's defense wear out to where, in the fourth quarter, they break a couple of big plays on them, and Indiana just comes up short. I mean, that's going to be what Rutgers hopes to have happen. And if Indiana's offense is unable to stay on the field for any length of time because the weather doesn't allow them to pass, then that is something I'm concerned about, is if the weather prevents the passing games from being much of a factor at all, how does Indiana's offense respond to it? Because so far, to really force the run, it just hasn't worked. I mean, it just, the offensive line has not been capable of opening up those holes. So that's a big concern for me heading into this one, is if the weather is as bad as what it appears it's going to be, how does IU's offense respond?
Yeah, and this is a game, TJ, we'll get to talking to some keys to the game right now. This is a game, if IU scores first, and you're going to have to score to win. It's obvious, but somebody's going to have to score a touchdown to win this game. And it might take one touchdown, but you can't. IU was conservative a little early last week and then opened it up. They went for it on fourth and got aggressive, and it paid off. I believe on all their touchdown drives, they converted a fourth down play or two of the three of them.
I thought they were all intelligent play calls on the fourth
down. It was supreme confidence in your defense and maybe a little lack of respect for Illinois' offense. But this is Rutgers is giving up a lot of fourth down conversions as well, on the year. I think they've given up 8 out of 15, 8 out of 14 on the year. So that's a 57.1% clip there. Yeah, this might be the same offensive philosophy, is, all right, let's utilize our short passing game, get to fourth and one, fourth and two, and good field position, and just, try our best short yardage play. They picked up on the ground, the screens or the flat passes, running backs work pretty well outside of a few drops. The wheel out passes have worked all year. On that,
Props to Devontae Williams, because while we will continue to be hard on him for the kick returns, which we've said enough about that, but and it's not all his fault. I mean, the blocking one is not good either, but he has really carved out a nice role as a receiving back on those wheel routes or flat screen passes. He's done a nice job on those. He's proven to have sure hands. He's doing a good job running the route. And there's been a couple of times where, you know, he'd have even longer passes or longer receptions if the passes would have been more accurate. So, you know, kudos to the coaching staff for using that skill set of his, for finding that role for him, and a good job by him for taking advantage of it, because that's been a nice part of the Indiana offense, and he's probably been the best of the backs at it.
Yeah, and you know, you're exactly right, and it's something that they need. It's, you know, sometimes your running game isn't always running. Some of these passing plays are extended handoffs, and that's what they're going to need to do. Throw it short.
Yep.
Make throws that aren't going to be affected by the wind, and just, you know, chip away at the yardage and get downfield. I don't know what direction the wind's going to go, if it's going to be a crosswind, or if you're going to have to spend half the game going into it. Field goals, yeah, you know, this might, as good as Griffin Oaks could be, kicking into a 30-mile-an-hour wind is going to severely hurt or limit his range. And it goes for Rutgers too. Both teams have to play in the same conditions. It's going to hurt his range. So you can't just hope to get inside 30 and kick field goals. You're going to have to get deep in Rutgers territory and use that same mentality you did against Illinois. You know what? Our defense can stop them and go for it on fourth down and take some chances. It's not going to be long passes. I don't think they're going to chance it all that often, throwing it up into heavy winds. But if they could get, you know, 4 yards, 4 or 5 yards on first down, another couple yards on second down, you're setting yourself up for two plays on third and fourth down to get that first down and move the chains.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll see a lot of that, which, again, as you mentioned, it's two parts. It's one part, complete confidence in your defense to get the stop, and you know, another part, just a lack of, not a lack of respect, but just, you know, not fearing what the Rutgers offense can do to you, which, you know, sometimes the right play is to say, all right, let's pin them down inside the 10. We don't think they'll get a first down on us, and we'll have great field position. Sometimes that's the play. But I think more often than not, when you're in enemy territory, you know, in anything close to scoring zone, and you can get it in below a fourth and four, you know, I think it makes sense in games like this to go for it. And Indiana was able to do that last week, and I expect to see similar things this week when the Hoosiers get anywhere close to scoring territory, because those chances are going to be precious, and you got to try to get points on the board when you can. So that's what I'm looking for. I do expect, you know, a lot of seniors on this defense that have seen a lot of time and they have a lot of pride. And I expect the defense to have a really good day on Saturday. You know, the final home game for Rashard Bant, for Chase Dutra, for Greg Gooch, for Tigray Scales, Nate Hoff,
Chris Covington,
you know, Tony Field,
there's a lot of
Chris Covington.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of guys that, you know, have had a huge impact on IU football. And I really feel strongly they're going to play a nice game. And I really hope they do just have a really good performance on Saturday and obviously get the win. Those guys have earned it.
Yeah, they have. And this is, you stake your claim for your seniors. It shouldn't take a big pregame speech, anything else other than, hey, it's your last game in Memorial Stadium. You know, make this count. And I think the seniors, you know, I think they're going to play hard. They have all year. There's no reason not to think that. And we'll see. There are a couple things I'm worried about in this game. And some of them are weather related. There are forecasts for thunderstorms as well. What happens if this game gets delayed is my thinking. You saw Michigan State pull off a upset against Penn State with a 3-hour something delay there. It just throws off timing. football is such an emotional sport where you just get so juiced up at the beginning of it. You have a delay, all that adrenaline is gone, and you have to, come out and do it all over again. And it's got an impact play at some point, I believe. So we'll keep an eye on that. But TJ, predictions for Saturday.
Well, given the weather and given what we have seen from IU's offense and from IU's defense, I'm predicting a pretty low score. I'm going with Indiana to get the win, keep their bowl hopes alive, get the win on senior day, and defeat Rutgers for a second straight year. Hoosiers 21, Rutgers 13. So Indiana to have another very nice defensive performance. I do think they force a few turnovers or takeaways. And I think we'll get just enough from the running game, along with a couple of, maybe some slant passes that IU breaks for big gains. I could see this being a real nice day for Luke Timian on kind of short 5 to 10 yard routes that he's able to make hay on. So Indiana 21, Rutgers 13. I think it'll be a work of art, but I also don't think it'll matter if IU comes out on top.
No, this is a game you don't care about the score as long as the Hoosiers come out on top. TJ, I'm right there with you. I texted you this morning about it. I said 21-14 IU. If they could get this running game going, it's going to be a low-scoring game. I know that the line has IU by 11, which I think is a little high.
That's ridiculous.
Going into this game, the over-under is 49, which is probably accurate.
Also high. I think 49 is pretty high.
Yeah, for a bad weather game. But 21. I think 21-14. It's gonna be ugly. But as long as you come out with that W, and can head up to West Lafayette, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, looking for a bowl berth. That's where you want to be. I mean, you want to have six wins already, but going into this final stretch, 3-6, you wanted to head up to West Lafayette with 5 wins.
Yep. It's all in front of them still.
Yep. All right. That does it for tonight's podcast. TJ, thanks for joining us. Stay warm and stay dry on Saturday. I will be down on the sidelines taking pictures. So hopefully people enjoy those on Sunday. I have invested in a raincoat and ski pants. And might have to bring a snorkel, but we'll be good to go. Anyway, keep coming to HoosierHuddle.com. For all your IU football news and notes, follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We're also doing another clothing order coming up here in the next few days. It should be out next week. I just have to finalize the artwork and all that stuff. So if you're looking for holiday gifts for your Hoosier football fans or any IU fans or any sports fans, check those out. The order form will be open for 2 weeks. 2 weeks only. A lot of the same stuff. We did have to change sweatshirts because they don't make the style we had the last time, which is unfortunate because it was really nice. So keep coming back and enjoy another college football Saturday.
Thanks everybody for listening. Have a good week.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.